All right. I think it's working now. Hang on one second here. Let me turn down this little speaker here. I don't know what happened. I had problems with my microphone. This one is not working. I'm going to get it completely out of the way. And I'm using actually the microphone from this camera right here. So if I talk directly right into the microphone, you should be able to hear me fine anyway. I don't know what happened, but anytime I've got, let me pan my camera around here so you can see what I've got here. I've got a mixer board here, and I've got a little video switcher here, and of course there's the camera right back there, and then I've got this microphone here and all this stuff. You've just gone for a roller coaster ride with Pastor Mike Hoggard here. But anyway, good to be back with you today. I have got, no wonder, the devil did not want this working out. I have got some dangerous pieces of paper here in front of me. I want to pull the volume down just a little bit so I'm not screaming in your ears. But anyway, it is good. With all the things that have gone on in the last, last week or so, poor Jazz, she's worked overtime getting these new websites up, handling the hackers that were trying to destroy our website. And now I think we have a little bit better security in what we're doing. And so we praise the Lord for that. But there's just some things that we're doing here that are dangerous, and I have some dangerous pieces of paper here to share with you. We've got pieces of paper. We have a, for those of you down under, we have a UFO video from Australia, and it is an unidentified flying object. I don't know what it is. And who does know what it is? Anyway, we have that. We have our a random access Bible study. And somebody is, I'm checking Watchman Communion Community here for some notes. That they're the ones that told me that there was no sound coming over my microphone. And one guy says, I can read lips. My youngest son is deaf, LOL. And so I'm glad he doesn't have to read my lips anymore. And somebody else is telling me that there's no sound. Anyway, those of you on Watching Me Community, if you want to get in touch with me during this, just send me a little note. It'll go boop like that, and it'll make a sound, and then I'll know you did something. And then if you want to get in contact with me while I'm doing the broadcast, you can email me at PastorMike@KingJamesCode.org. Or you can call our office at area code 636-931-3999. And Alicia, I hope there's somebody still downstairs. I hope there's somebody left down there that's going to handle the phones. Anyway, you can call there. And if you have a question, you know, one of the reasons I started doing this was there would be some people out there with some questions that, sometimes I'll try to answer an email, or sometimes I'll try to answer it in a Watchman broadcast. But I want to be able to do some of them justice. So if you have a question for the Bible or question about something that's going on in the world and you're not sure about, or hey, Pastor Mike, have you ever seen this, and so on and so on, send that to me in real time, and I'll deal with it here on this Watchman broadcast. Got an email from the Troutman family. Woo! They are going to be joining us at our homecoming in August. That is, let me pull my calendar up here. That is in August. Let me get the dates right here. August, this is June. No, this is May, June, July. August 5th, 6th, and 7th is our Bethel homecoming. We did this last year, had several families come in. We had a wonderful time, and I'm going to invite everybody in to our church. You get a look around. And those of you that have never been here before, when you get here on Friday, we'll have some finger foods and snacks and things like that to eat. And then I'll let you go through our top secret. See if you can go through our church and find out where our top secret broadcasting bunker is. We had a couple ladies from Florida last year. We had a good time with them, and they found it. They found the top secret. It was the last place they looked, but they found it. Anyway, the Troutman family from Indianapolis wants me to give a shout-out to Bailey Brooke, Brenna Brock, and Melissa. I don't know where Melissa came from in this thing. But anyway, they're tuning in, and we praise the Lord for that. So anyway, let me read my pieces of paper here of some news that's going on. This is just stuff that everybody's sending me, and I praise the Lord for it. By the way, I've got some commercial advertising to do here in a little bit. We'll have a little bit of fun with it. Anyway, let's see, what is this? The court says that you have no right to resist illegal cop entry into your home. This is actually Troutman's. This is in Indianapolis. Overturning a common law dating back to the English Magna Carta of 1215, the Indiana Supreme Court ruled Thursday that Hoosiers have no right to resist unlawful police entry into their homes. So if a cop wants to come in your house without your permission or without your knowledge, if they just want to walk in, you have no right whatsoever to resist them. If you resist them, they'll shoot you or throw you in jail. In a 3-2 decision, Justice Stephen David, writing for the court, said if a police officer wants to enter a home for any reason or no reason at all, a homeowner cannot do anything to block the officer's entry. We believe a right to resist an unlawful, now think about this, unlawful police entry. The police are the ones who are supposed to be keeping the law and making sure everybody else keeps the law. And they're the ones who are supposed to be, if you are entering in somebody's house unlawfully, if you're trespassing, if you do not have permission to go into that house, they're the ones who are supposed to come and get you. But now the Supreme Court of Indiana has given them the right to, against the law, come into your house, do anything they want to. And while they're in there, if they happen to see anything going on, well, then they're already in there and they've already seen it, so they can take action. So it says, we believe a right to resist an unlawful police entry into a home is against public policy and is incompatible with modern Fourth Amendment jurisprudence, David said. We also find that allowing resistance unnecessarily escalates the level of violence and therefore the risk of injuries to all parties involved without preventing the arrest. David said a person arrested following an unlawful entry by police can still be released on bail and has plenty of opportunities to protest the illegal entry through the court system. Like, okay, if we can't trust the cops, then why should we trust the court system anymore? The court's decision stems from a Vandenberg County case in which police were called to investigate a husband and wife arguing outside their apartment. When the couple went back inside their apartment, the husband told police they were not needed and blocked their doorway so they could not enter. When an officer entered anyway, the husband shoved the officer against the wall. A second officer then used a stun gun. I wouldn't like that. I would not like a stun gun being used on me. Okay? I would not like that. If you've ever been electrocuted before, you don't like that. The second officer then used a stun gun on the husband and arrested him. Okay? Now, Professor Ivan Boven, let's see, let me read this right. Ivan Bodensteiner, a professor at Valparaiso University School of Law, said the court's decision is consistent with the idea of preventing violence, but it is inconsistent with the Magna Carta, the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, which was based upon everything. You have to understand, the reason why we have laws in this country, the reason why we have the Constitution written the way it was and the Bill of Rights written the way it was in this country is because the colonials, the colony people in America, at the time when King George was reigning over the colonies here, he was just sending in his troops, and his troops had a blank right to just go in anybody's home, place of business, anything like that, and do whatever they wanted to. They had the right to go in and go through your papers and effects. That means your personal stuff. They had a right to go in, and if British soldiers came into town and they wanted to sleep in your bed and sit out at your table, you had to feed them. You had to do everything. And so when they wrote the Constitution, when they wrote the Bill of Rights, they said, without due process, no agent from the government has a right to come into your house or to look at your papers and effects. They don't have a right to do that without due process. In other words, they can go to a judge and say, here's our evidence here. We think that they have such and such going on. We're looking for this exact thing right here, and we need to get entrance to the house. And so there is a court order that says the police can go in there and do that. But now, as it is right now, according to Indiana, and it'll probably bleed out everywhere else unless it's challenged in the Supreme Court, which I suspect it will be, because this is a big thing. The cops will just have the right to come in and start looking. Well, let me back up. I'm using future tense words. The Patriot Act, and I, you know what? I have an article here. I have pieces of paper that deal with the Patriot Act. Let's see. There's a Masonic minister here. I have a piece of paper that deals with the Patriot Act, and the Patriot Act is going to be signed back in. It's going to be extended for another 5 years, I think. Aha! Aha! Here it is, right here. Let me get to this. The Patriot Act says that the agents of the government have a right to come in and do what's called a sneak and peek. The agents can enter into your home while you're not there, sneak in. They can they can take your computer keyboard and put a keylogger on there. That is a little device that records the keys that you type in to your computer. They can tap your phone. They can go through your file cabinets. They can look under your bed. They can do whatever they want to do in there. They can sneak in and take a peek at what you've got. Then they'll come out. And then they'll say, while we were in there, we found terrorist-related ideas. And then they say, oh, well, yeah, we need to search the premises now. So they already have the right to do that. And here's an article somebody just sent me today. And I get a lot of good articles from this person. There's a secret Patriot Act, a senator says, and I have not read this yet. So the article says, you may think you understand how the Patriot Act allows the government to spy on its citizens. Senator Ron Wyden says it's worse than you've heard. Congress is set to reauthorize three controversial provisions of the surveillance law as early as Thursday, but Wyden says that what Congress will renew is a mere fig leaf for a far broader legal interpretation of the Patriot Act. Fig leaf, I think that's interesting. For a far broader legal interpretation of the Patriot Act that the government keeps to itself entirely in secret. I'm against secrets. Worse, there are hints that the government uses this secret interpretation to gather what one Patriot watcher calls a dragnet. You know, I had the theme for that TV show, Dragnet. For massive amounts of information on private citizens, the government portrays its data collection efforts much differently. We're getting to a gap between what the public thinks the law says and what the American government secretly thinks the law says, Wyden tells Danger Room in an interview in his Senate office. When you've got that kind of gap, you're going to have a problem on your hands. What exactly does Wyden mean by that? As a member of the Intelligence Committee, he laments that he can't precisely explain without disclosing classified information. But one component of the Patriot Act in particular gives him immense pause. The so-called business records provision, which empowers the FBI to get businesses, medical offices, banks, and other organizations to turn over any tangible things it deems relevant to a security investigation. And so basically the powers of the government in this country were limited. They were limited to, let me do this here. They were limited to what was on paper. This idea that kings, all these kings like in England and places like that, they believed they had what's called divine right. And one of the reasons for the Magna Carta was, if I remember my history right, they went to the king with the Magna Carta and said, here, sign this. We want rights. We don't want the idea that you can just do whatever you feel like doing. We think we have rights as citizens. And so, if I remember right, then the parliamentary system came in. You had the House of Lords, you had the House of Commons, a prime minister, things like that. And it reduced the power and the authority of a king, and it sort of elevated the power of the people. Then you have that spilling over into America, and now America says that the limit of your rule is based upon what is written on paper. This is precisely biblical, because here in the book of Deuteronomy, God said, when you get into the land and when you choose a king for yourself, then here's what you're going to do. This king that you pick is going to be one of yours. He can't be from some other country. And when he sits down to rule over you, he must write himself out a copy of this book and rule by what's in the book. He must do that. And so the whole idea of the Constitution and other laws around the world just like it was to limit the government, limit their ability to just do whatever they felt like doing. And it worked. But now we live, and I blame two things. Number one, I blame evil politicians and evil people in government. That's who I blame, number one. Number two, I blame the American citizen, themselves, and especially the church American citizens of this country. I blame those who were supposed to be salt, those who were supposed to be light in this country. That, to me, is where it's to be laid at. And I blame the American citizen. We're no longer a country that deserves all these rights. We're no longer that. And so there's a lot of blame to spread around, and God teaches us in the Scriptures that when we refuse to live under God's authority and do things God's way, then God puts us under cruel authority. And that is exactly where we're going today. I have an article here. Let's see, it goes along with that. Something about black boxes. Let's see if I can find it. There's an article, there's a piece of paper about the TSA. Let's see, here we go. Here we go. Feds to mandate black box on all new cars. The feds will mandate next month that all new cars be fitted with a black box, according to news reports. So-called black boxes record information about speed, seatbelt use, and brake application. The National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration has been involved in the use of black boxes since their introduction. And in 2006, the Safety Administration encouraged but did not require automobiles manufacturers install systems and also did not set a single standard for the way data would be recorded, according to New York Times. The article goes on to talk about how basically they're going to put this little black box, I'm going to hold this up to the camera here, a little black box in every new car that comes out, and it's going to record all your speed, when you made a left-hand turn, when you made a right-hand turn. It's going to record everything about your driving habits, everything monitored, everything recorded, everything watched, everything in our lives being databased. I recorded a Watchmen video broadcast for next week, today, this morning already. I've been busy today, and I recorded that today, and there was an article in there. What was it about? I didn't forget what it was about. But something about monitoring everything. Oh, facial recognition. And how the facial recognition software is going to, there's going to be a camera half a mile away from you, and it's going to zoom in on your face and instantly know who you are. And then it's going to be able to tell what you're up to. Can you tell what I'm up to now? Okay. Well, of course, I'm up to a broadcast. But anyway, that's what's going on. Let me see if I want to do this one. Here we go. Not enjoying TSA grope down is a suspicious activity. The TSA wants you to know that you should express, that should you express any kind of dissatisfaction at having to be prodded, groped, or forced through a radiation-firing naked body scanner, you will be treated as suspicious. Now, I got by pretty easy. I went, got on a plane a week ago today. That's why we didn't do a live broadcast, because I was flying. Headed to Bristol, Virginia, and I was in the TSA line. It was a long line. I got there early, and I got in line. I was looking. There's only one body scanner in this particular area of the airport, Lambert Airport, and so I'm avoiding the body scanner line. But actually, I got off pretty easy, and I'll tell you how I did. All you need to do is get in line behind a celebrity. That's all you need to do. I got right behind at the Lambert International Airport in St. Louis, Missouri. I got right behind Daryl Strawberry. Okay, if you don't know who that is, he was, I think he played for the Mets. He was a baseball player. He was a good baseball player. Anyway, he was in line, and he must have been in St. Louis for something. And he was standing in line in front of me at Lambert Airport. And I hear these female TSA workers. I hear them. Hi, Daryl. Daryl Strawberry. And he's pretty. He's not going, hey, baby, how you doing? He's not doing that. I mean, he's just kind of acting, you know, hey, how you doing, you know. I'm sure he gets that a lot. I recognized him as soon as I saw him. My wife probably wouldn't know who it was, but I recognize him. And so I got in line behind Daryl Strawberry. So and all these gals are going, hi, Daryl. Hi, Daryl. He's going, hey, how you doing? And so they're not paying any attention to me. They're not looking. They're not wanting to check my pockets. They're not wanting to go through my stuff. I mean, I pulled my iPad out. And I did, followed all the rules and went through there. They looked at everything and they said, okay, here you go. Bye, Daryl. See you later. So I'm going, I got by pretty easy on that. And then flying out of Bristol, Virginia, the Bristol, Virginia Tri-Cities Airport is about as big as this room here. And the TSA, I was the one person in line, in the TSA line. And so anyway, this article says, it says, even if you merely frown or display any other negative facial expression at the prospect of having your private areas frisked by a uniformed government employee, you will be considered irregular. If you don't smile while they're doing this and you act frowny face and upset, they're going to go, you know what, this guy's suspicious. The fact that he doesn't like us touching him in this place leads us to believe that he may be hiding something he doesn't want us to find out about. This portion, I got an advertisement for you here. This portion of the Pastor Mike Online live radio broadcast is brought to you by I Am Enlightened Nutrition. And notice there's four of them, okay? That is one for if you want to drink in some principalities. It says, I am healthy, I am energized, I am sleepy, I am happy. So if you want some principalities or some powers or some rulers of darkness or spiritual wickedness in high places, you can drink this and it will set you free. I am Enlightened Nutrition. Now, I'm not a health food person. Okay? You can tell by this sticking out of me. I'm not a health food person. I think it would be nice to be a health food person, okay? But I'm not. And I'm not against nutritional supplements, vitamins, wheat germs, crabgrass. I'm not against any of that. If I actually found, I have a lot of pain issues in my back, and if I actually found something that was plucked up out of somebody's backyard and ground into a paste and then made into an emulsion and then put into a pill and you take, if I could find something like that, I would take it. But somebody, who was it? Somebody wrote me an email. And they said that they used to be into holistic, all this stuff, health food, everything. They used to be into all this stuff. And they actually went to a seminar, and it was total New Age garbage that they were in, all this health food thing, health food fair, whatever it was. And this is New Age, okay? This right here is New Age. I Am, of course, you know what that is. That's God's name. And Jesus used it. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. He has the right. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And so anyway, be careful about some of this stuff. Here's another one. Let's see here. And I'm going to check emails here in a second. Here's another one here. This is a catalog for Christian books. And let's see. What did I do? I lost it. Lost it. Oh, here, I shouldn't have taken the piece of paper off here, because it says, she's into contemplative prayer. I wonder where it was. I lost it. Oh, here it was. Here it was. Beth Moore is into contemplative prayer. She put some other notes in here, too. Here's a book called Radical Together. And she wrote, huh? Let's see what else is in here. Let's see here. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, along with the NIV stuff that you'll find just about anywhere. How hard is it to find a King James Bible someplace? Let me check my email here. Let me go to Watchman Community here and see what's going on here. I have one from Brother John, who says, the U.S. Supreme Court has just taken a step towards destroying the Fourth Amendment, similar to Indiana did. Cops can break into your home without a warrant or knocking if they suspect there are drugs inside. And he gives a reference to that. Let's see, who else here is bothering me at Watchman Community? We have, we have Jill from England. And she says, Ricky and I would like a shout, please. Oh, how's that for a shout? Let me check the email inbox and see if anybody is writing me anything that is relevant. Somebody says, yay, I made it home to watch your blog. This is the Blob blog. I watched the Tornadoes News the first day on CNN. Interestingly enough, they did a story on how God answered the prayers for a church, and it was a Catholic church. They kept showing the statue of the Virgin Mary while the commentary was going on. The overall depiction was that of the real church being spared the act of God tornado event. P.S. The Israeli Prime Minister got two standing ovations from the Senate about his speech to them regarding how Israel will not be returning to pre-67 borders. President Obama was out of town in England drinking a lager with the Queen, another global elitist. And that is from somebody in Pennsylvania. And I'll tell you this. Somebody has asked a legitimate question, and the legitimate question is: I don't know if you've seen the devastation in Joplin, Missouri. Joplin, Missouri is about 250 miles southwest of here, and I've been to that town several times, and it's gone. The town's gone. Somebody has said, is there a connection between Barack Obama, the president of the United States, and he's not the only one that's ever done this? Is there a connection between the president of the United States and coming out and saying, Israel, give up everything, just go crawl somewhere and die and let the Palestinians have it? Is there a connection between that and what happened in our country? And I'd like for you to do something. I actually have other pieces of paper here, if I can find them, concerning... Oh, I don't want to forget this. This is a piece of paper from Jazz. I don't want to forget that. Look at the word whirlwind in the King James Bible. The word whirlwind in the King James Bible. And because that is an interesting word. Guess what a tornado is, by the way. Now I have a message here. It says, appears someone is not wanting the Troutman family to hear the live stream today. We get you for about 3 minutes, all the while getting some major delays and stalls. We've heard of all the intro music and probably about 6 minutes tops of you live. We are bummed. We'll keep trying. I hope that everybody else hears somebody that says, we're watching you live on the broadcast. I love it. Want to share the scripture with you. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Amen to that. And I know who this is, and I appreciate you guys always keeping me informed about everything that is going on. Anyway, here is some notes from Jazz. We've had some major revisions of our website, and she wants me to fill you in on this. She says, hey, Pastor Mike. That's me. Thank you for being okay with me stepping away from the keyboard day, okay? Because I'm doing the same thing tomorrow. I am not going to be here tomorrow. My sweetie pie is taking me out for my birthday tomorrow. That's not my birthday tomorrow. It's my birthday Monday. But she's taking me out tomorrow for my birthday. She's going to feed me anything that I want, and she's going to buy me a new gas grill for my patio so I can cook supper. And I'm looking forward to that. But anyway, here for the items of interest to share with the watchers. Number one, WatchmanVideoBroadcast.com. Videos will be brought up to date by tomorrow evening. Currently, under the blog section, we have all of 2011 videos posted through April 10th. And she's still working all of this stuff, and all the audio files are up to date. And yes, we will be adding the download links to the archive pages as soon as I can. Next item, WatchmanVideoBroadcast.com, number two. In the footer, there is an on-the-web section that offers several ways to subscribe. The two icons in the center of the row, one looks like a movie director's thingamajig, and the other looks like an audio headset, provides links to the iTunes Store pages. One is for video files, the other one is for MP3. Speaking of iTunes, let me check something here. And good deal. All right. Anyway, they are free, of course, even though they're in the store. Next item, Watchman Video Broadcast. The Twitter and Facebook icons are not linked yet. They should be available next week. This goes for the purebiblestudy.com, new website as well. Purebiblestudy.com. Under the blog section, videos are up to date. Under the audio archive, audio is up to date. Yes, we will be adding the download links to the archive pages as soon as I can, probably towards the end of next week. You pray for this gal. She's got a lot of work to do. Purebiblestudy.com in the footer in the on the web section, nothing is linked yet. Still getting all that up. Estimated time of arrival next week. And then, number six, the most important one. This broadcast is getting its own website, PastorMikeOnline.com. Yes, I admit being a little ambitious on that one, hence the need to step away from the keyboard today. That will be live before next Tuesday's Pastor Mike Online broadcast. It's in writing, people. Okay? So I know there's more, but I'm running off to play hooky now. See you later, alligator. Let's see here. I had brought this up last week, and I want to deal with this. I want to tell you a little story. Okay? I'm going to tell you a story about this guy right here. Okay? Have you seen this guy before? He looks suspicious. Okay? My family, the Hoggard / Corzine family, is originally from Arkansas. I was born in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, May 30th, 1966, at Jefferson Memorial Hospital. We lived in a little bitty house on the other side of the levee, on the flood side of the levee. My parents were very, very poor back then, and my dad hunted and fished, and we basically lived off the land back then is what we did. And things have changed now, but my dad's mom and dad lived in Jacksonville, Arkansas, which is about 13 miles north of Little Rock, and my mom's family grew up in an area of North Little Rock called Levy. It's spelled L-E-V-Y. And I know, I can tell whether or not you're from Arkansas by how you pronounce it. If you say it right, then I know you're there. In Levy, Arkansas, in a little two-bedroom house there in the suburbs of Levy, Arkansas, sort of North Little Rock, Arkansas. My mom grew up there with several siblings. And in just this little house here. And so when I was a kid, we would drive from here all the way down to Arkansas. We would go to Meemaw and Peepaw's house. Don't you make fun of that. Meemaw and Peepaw's house and visit with them. Then we'd go down and visit Mamaw, which was my mom's mom, down in Levy. Sometimes we spend the night there and, you know, split up. And we just have a good time. Stayed for 3 or 4 days and just have a great time with all my grandparents. On the way to Mamaw's house in Levy, Arkansas, a block from her house, you'd stop at a four-way stop, and on this corner would be an Assembly of God Church, and on this corner would be Levy Baptist Church, and then the little elementary school, and then my mamaw's house was right there. So Levy Baptist Church, and I got this. Somebody sent me this. This is an article by a man by the name of Ed Decker. If you don't know who that is, Ed Decker was a former Freemason, and he writes a lot about Freemasonry and things like that. And Ed Decker is reporting, let me hold this picture up again, okay? See this guy here, okay? This is the most excellent Grand High Priest of the Arkansas Royal Arch, Grand Chapter Royal Arch Masons of Arkansas. He is the Grand High Priest of the Masonic Lodge in the state of Arkansas, of the Royal Arch Masons. Now you know what I teach about this. Let me point this out to you. Here is Jachin, and here is Boaz, and they're united together, and they're held together by what's called the keystone. The state of Arkansas kind of looks like a keystone. So that's what that is. The fusion of opposites together. He is the Grand High Priest of the Masonic Lodge and pastor of Levy Baptist Church. And for some reason, in his mind, he does not think them incompatible with one another whatsoever. Doesn't have a problem with being either one of those. I just thought I would. It's an odd world that we live in. Okay. If you're involved in something, then you're saying that the name of God is something other than Jehovah, Jesus Christ. I tell you what, I don't know. I have a problem with that. You know what? Let's do this. We need to look at a flying saucer video. Would you like to look at a flying saucer video? We have to play our X-Files theme song. Let's see. X-Files. There it is. The X-Files theme song. And we're going to cut away to our UFO video of the day. This is from Australia. And I had to cut the audio out of this video. I had to cut the audio because the Australian guy that was filming this was going, "Blink! Look at that! Blink! Blink, man! That's blinking! So I cut the audio out. Anyway, here's the video, the UFO video of the week. Looks like a UFO. It's unidentified. Who knows what that really is? And it sits still for a while and then starts to move. And oh no. Camera, there it is. It's just sitting still. It's just not moving. Now it's going to start moving. And what is it in here? While you're watching this, if you have a UFO video to send me, you can send it. Send me a link to it at PastorMike@KingJamesCo.org. I would love to see it. Okay, so the question is, what is it? And that's the deal right there. It is unidentified. We don't know what this thing is. And it kind of goes behind the trees and hides out there. And then you don't see it anymore. Oh, here I am. Here I am right here. And let's see. Let me check emails again one more time here. Let's see what's going on with everybody. Check the Watchman community real quick here. Who's waiting? Here's Ricky from the Netherlands. And Ricky has been a great friend of our ministry. She's from the Netherlands. She says, "Hi, Pastor Mike, give us a shout. Love your live broadcast." And we just love her to death. Pastor Mike, happy birthday. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Hopefully another day older and another day wiser. Here is an email from someone that says, "Hi, Mike. Hope you're doing well. The I am commercial." Let's see. 23 equals I am. 46 equals I am. I'm not sure exactly what that means. But anyway, I think it has to do with the gematria of the English language. Anyway, we have about 15 minutes left. Let me change cameras here so you can see how I do this here. We're going to do our a Random Access Bible Study, ARABS. Okay, this is where we take the Bible, and I had that this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And so here's, we're going to randomly access the Bible. We're just going to flip the page. I'm going to close my eyes real tight. I'm going to face it here. So you see my eyes closed here. And I'm going to open up my Bible to right here. What is this? This is the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2 and Romans chapter 3. And I don't even know where to go here. But since we are dealing a little bit, let me change cameras here again. Since we are dealing a little bit with DNA and I am. This whole I am thing, even Kenneth Copeland gets into the saying where he tells everybody, he says, say that I am. I am God. He believes he's a God. He believes everybody. Kenneth Copeland actually teaches people that God told him. Now, this is where This is where if you are on the if you're on the borderline of if you're on the borderline of whether or not God only speaks through the Bible, or God speaks in dreams and visions, or God speaks through these latter-day prophets, if you're on the borderline, I really want to help you with this. I mean, I really do. I want to help you so bad with this, because I used to be on this borderline. Okay, I'm going to adjust my camera just a little bit. I used to be on that same... I'm with you, because I know, you know, I've heard some guys say, well, God told me this, God told me that. And I sympathize with you. But all you have to do is listen to guys like Kent Copeland, because he all the time is getting God telling him stuff. Okay, God told him to get this $30 million jet airplane. God told him that. Okay, he needs that for the glory of God. And so anyway, God supposedly tells him all these things. And one of the things that God told Kenneth Copeland was he was having this little conversation with God, and God said that a twice born man hung on the cross. And Kenneth Copeland said, "Good gracious alive, you don't mean that." And then he always says, now don't let your tradition trip you up. And what he means by that is, everything you've heard from the Bible, just forget about that, because it doesn't mean snap to him. And he said, what God told him was that Kenneth Copeland, being born again, could have died on the cross and saved mankind. That's not true. And so, if you want to, now if you want to trust and follow all these people with dreams and visions, and all these people who are prophesying this, oh, I'm getting a word of God, oh, listen to me, God's got... If you want to follow that, fine, that's your business, okay? If you want to follow that. But I don't trust me. And I'm not going to trust anybody else that's going to give me something that they say is from God that I can't point to in this scripture here. So anyway, I wanted to throw that in there. But Kenneth Copeland goes around telling everybody, I am... And I am is God's name. And we're, since we're talking about DNA and 23 and this and that and the other, the Watchmen broadcast I did today deals with three-strand DNA. It was actually two films that I saw this president. Number one, the movie Thor. And I watched Tron Legacy. And both of them had three-strand DNA in it as some of this superior godlike thing, okay? But anyway, here's what this number 23 is on. This is from Romans chapter 1, and I love this. Let me start here. Let's go to verse 22. Professing themselves wise, they became fools. By the way, those of you who are about to enter into your sophomore year of either college or high school, or a sophomore now, let me tell you what that word means. Sophos, and the words here in Greek are that. Sophos means wise, okay? Moros means fool. A sophomore is a wise fool. I thought I'd throw that in there. Professing them to be themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. There's four things here we count. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This is why you ought not watch American Idol. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Think about Sodom. They had vile affections. The Bible refers to, somewhere else in the Bible, inordinate affections. That means not ordinary affections. It is normal for a man or a husband to crave his wife, or his wife to want and desire her husband. That is normal. That is ordinary affections. But then you get into inordinate, unordinary, non-typical affections. And it's a result of people's mindsets who will not put God first in their life. You think about this. God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, like Katy Perry. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error, which was meet. You know what? I'm going to check something. I never did shut my... There. X-Files music off. See, it's hard to monitor this, because I get so much delay in my voice, so maybe I'll turn it down just like that so you can hear it. Anyway, somebody just sent me a bleep here. Hang on here. Who is this? Who is this? I got several of them. Ricky. Pimp, did you forget the music? Okay, I got you. Brother John, okay. This is the first Bible study I've ever sat through with the X-Files theme for a soundtrack. Pretty neat. And Jill says, your X-Files music keeps repeating. Phew. Okay. Sorry about that. I got it. I'm back online here. I'm still learning some of this stuff here, so just kind of bear with me here a little bit. All right. Anyway, back to the Bible. This is important now. Even as verse 28 of Romans chapter 1, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. I don't ever want to go there. I don't want to go there so bad I cannot begin to tell you how bad. I don't want to be turned over to a reprobate mind. I don't want that. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled. And I want to tell you something. I want you to listen to this list now as we go through this list and tell me, is there anything in this list that you've got in you? You don't have to tell me what it is. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness. Anybody have covetousness? Anybody ever look at your neighbor's house and go, man, they got a nicer house than I do? That's covetousness. Maliciousness. Okay? You just went after somebody. You were mean to them. You said something mean to somebody. That's malicious. Full of envy. Murder. Debate. You always got to argue with every time somebody says something, you got to get ignorant with them and argue with them. You are a debater, okay? Young people who are listening to me, you don't have to argue everything that your mom says. You don't have to do that. Husbands, listen to me, dads. Husbands, you don't have to argue every time your wife opens her mouth. Ladies, you don't have to argue with your husband every time he opens his mouth. You don't have to be a debater. Sometimes, you know, and I'll tell you what works for me and Sweetie Pie, Lisa Hoggard. I'll let her talk. I'll listen to her. I promised her that years ago. She called me down on it one time, and I promised her I was always going to listen to her. I may not agree with her, but I was always going to listen to her. And a lot of times, there's things that she said that's really helped me. A lot of times, there's things she said that I had to go to the Lord and say, God, what about this? Okay, and I've had to ask God either change me or change her, and God's always done it. But I quit debating. Okay, but I got it in me. Deceit, we have it in us to be deceitful. Malignity. Okay, we like to spread like a cancer. We like to spread our filth around. Whisperers. Hey, did you see so and so? Okay, you know what? I've seen people do that in church while I was preaching. Okay. And I don't think they were just saying, hey, where you want to go for lunch today? I think they were going, can you believe it? Why don't he get off this? Backbiters. That means talking behind somebody's back. Okay, stabbing them in the back. Haters of God. Despiteful. You just do things out of spite. Proud. Boasters. Inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. You got that in you? I did. Without understanding. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection. Implacable. Unmerciful. You know how many things there are in this list? 23. 23 is a number for death in the Bible. Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Romans 3:23. For the all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of that sin is death, is what the Bible says. Okay? And number 23 is a number for death. And so it's interesting to me that this particular number here shows up because it says in the very next verse that who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. If you commit such things, you're worthy of death. And so here's what I always want you to do. I think it's wise as Christians, knowing what we have in the worst thing that you can do with your life trying to live for Christ and trying to be a good, solid church member, a good, solid family member, or whatever it is, the worst thing in the world that you can do is go into denial about what you are and who you are and how bad you are. I grew up in church. I grew up in the house of God with church members. And boy, I tell you what, and I've known some good, godly men and women that I just have adored all my life. But I was around church members that were putting on airs everywhere they went. They were just, they were the church member. They never did anything wrong. I remember going to a Christian academy in this town for about a year and a half, in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, somewhere around in there. And there was a board member. He was a member of the church, fine, upstanding member of the church. And he was a member of the board of education of this fine Christian school establishment. It was, you know, it was a pretty good school. And his picture was in my school yearbook. I used to just really look up to these godly men who were running the Christian organization. And I was out visiting one Thursday night several years ago, and I stopped in at a little gas station for a red cola, red soda, big red soda. I love those things, okay? It's like hummingbird nectar. And so I went in there and got my big bottle of big red soda. And I'm looking at this guy, and I'm behind him in line. And I recognize him. He didn't know me, but I recognized him. And he's standing there with his six-pack of beer bottles, waiting in line to buy it. And I just went, what are you doing? You know? Church members and Christians, so-called, in denial about who they are and what they've got in them. Just because you say you got saved, that doesn't mean instantaneously, man, I'm perfect. Oh, my goodness. Man, I am so perfect. The best thing that you can do for yourself is come to an admittance and an honesty in your life that you still got some junk in there that wants to come out of you. And every now and then, it does. It comes flying out of us. Whether it's malignity, or backbiting, or whispering, or without understanding. And that's not, you know, not being a babe in Christ and not really knowing, you know, things about the Bible. But you just, you don't care. You have no interest whatsoever in the things of God. Covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful. Unmerciful, won't forgive anybody. You want everybody to forgive you. You yourself want to be forgiven, but you're not forgiving anybody. And fornication, having a lustful heart, okay? Being covetous, being wicked. I mean, having all that, being full of murder. Being full of murder. You can't tell me there ain't somebody you don't want dead, okay? Get honest with yourself. Get honest about what you still have inside. It's like encoded into our DNA. We have it in us, and it's not good what is inside of us. And the best thing that you can do is understand that because you have this stuff in you, you are worthy of death. And God had, according to the Old Testament, had every right to go ahead and cast you into the pits of hell. But he didn't. He didn't. So he says later in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. This is what we earned. This is what we got coming. We're in America, we're always wanting our rights to everything all the time. Well, this is what we have a right to. We have a right to hell. For the wages of sin is death. But, and I like that, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's a gift for me to not have to die and go to hell. It's a gift for me. It's a gift. Everything that I have, this Bible, this microphone that's not working today, my cell phone, my iPad, my empty can of Pepsi Cola, my wife, my children, my salvation, this ministry, I cannot begin to tell you how so low down and undeserving I am of everything that God has blessed me with here. The fact that you guys are sitting there listening to what I've got to say blows me away, because it's a gift that God has given me. He's not only just the eternal life, but the blessings that he's blessed me with here in this world. And I cannot stress enough the importance of understanding what God says is still inside of you, that needs to be killed. It needs to be sacrificed. It needs to be. And I'm not saying, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying we are crucified with Christ. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Those things that are in you, you kill them. How do you kill them? Use a sword. Okay? Use a sword on them. I found that helps a lot. And I'll tell you, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. It's as plain to me as anything. And I can tell you that when you get close to this book, sin just kind of steps back and stays far away. When you get away from this book, here he comes, and he's going to get you. And those things that are in you that you're trying to deny is a problem anymore, they're still there, and they will come back. One of these days, my friend, God is going to give us total and complete victory. And I praise the Lord for that. Good to have you with us today. This really bothers me. I want to try to get this microphone working again. Hello. I'm going to try to get that working again by next Tuesday. Next Tuesday, we will be Pastor Mike online again, live at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, coming from our top secret broadcasting bunker. And boy, wouldn't you like to know where this room is? If you come to our homecoming, August 5th, 6th, and 7th, you can find out where this room is and how we've kept it so well a secret. Watchmen video broadcast coming out next week. I have dealt with the movie Thor, the movie Tron Legacy. I talked about Obama riding the beast. That's pretty cool. Remember this from Baphomet? Okay, I got a new one on this. Okay, he actually does it like this. You know, one's up and one down. You are going to like this, what this means. I won't tell you now. You'll have to wait for the Watchmen broadcast to come out next week. Anyway, join our live services Sunday morning, Sunday school at 9:45 a.m. Central Time, church service at 10:45 or somewhere around in there, Central Time, and then I think Brady's going to be preaching for us Sunday night. Bradley preached an outstanding message Sunday night on how Mormonism is wrong versus the King James Bible. And we're going to have that on video and send that out in our watchers packet. If you want to be on our watchers list, just call us or write us, and we'll put you on our mailing list. You'll get everything that we do in DVD or audio format. And if you can help us with a donation of any kind or something like that, that would help out a lot. Our postage expenses are running into the thousands now every month. And I am not complaining, not in the least bit, because I know what's going out of here, and I am rejoicing that so many people and people, when they get their watchers packets, they take everything out, and they copy them, and they give them out to 45 different people, and we praise the Lord for that. Anyway, God bless you. We love you. We are going to, let's see, what music do I want? Oh, yes, this is the Blob Blog, and this is Pastor Mike, and I am cutting my microphone as of right now. God bless you. We'll see you the next time. Bye-bye.